The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, your host may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your siblings or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite those who are poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our God, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to say again greetings and good morning once again. We are here today, and this is one of the most interesting texts. And I am glad that today there are many young men and young women here. So this word might be yours. But those who have young men and young women at home somewhere there, this word might be yours too. Because we are talking about the wedding, and I know you invite many people in different places. So let's hear what this text is saying to us this morning. But I want to begin by saying, guess who is coming to the dinner? Who is coming to dinner today? This is a wedding banquet, a festive event, and people are decked in their tuxedos and with their bow ties and fluffy dresses with high heels, and they are going to the wedding. And I just want to guess. Some things are silent in the text, but I'm just imagining on the wedding, the context of the wedding. I think the music is really beautiful, and the dance is, people have practiced to do the dancing at this wedding banquet. It's going to be one of the greatest wedding ever. But here is something. In many societies and families, there are cultural practices, but also cultural taboos that are around the dinner table. Every family has got certain practices that they do. But one of the common things that I understand we all as Christians do is we begin by giving grace. Mm-hmm. May someone give grace before we eat. But let me say this morning, yes, the table is not only for the giving of grace, but it is also the space to extend grace to other people. So tables in the ancient world were places where philosophers or great teachers could impart the wisdom. So I just want to give you a very little in our home. During the time of the dinner, I just want you to imagine the African home. The African home during the dinner, we will sit. By the way, I once spoke about how we eat and how we sit at the table. So we'll eat from one plate, a group of three, four, and so forth, depending on the number of the children in that house. That will be the time where the parents tell stories, either folklores to teach something to their kids, or certain things that they want to make sure that now is the time where everybody is paying attention during the dinner. Then they begin to teach and give us certain things that we need to know as children. But particularly that is the time when these different folklores with different meanings were taught. So in the ancient world, we see great teachers, that was the time of imparting the wisdom. So tables were also the place where community's identity could be mapped. Who would know who you are at the table. So the Near Instant Eastern East proverb declares that I saw them eating and I knew who they were. Not because the way they chew their food. No, that's not what it means. But it has got a distinct meaning because certain people eat differently, and again certain people identify with different people at the dinner. So once eating company says a lot about you and your company. We will know who you are and the people around you by the people that you go to dinner with. So the gospel writer, I would want to say Luke Acts. I want to include Acts in this text. Luke Acts. There are so many things that we see about dinner, about eating and all that. Luke is fond of this language of dinner and of eating and table and all these things. So I just want to highlight a few things to put them in the context here. So nothing more serious than dining table in the Luke Acts. And we have got few cases that I just want to highlight that we see Luke is fond of. Number one that we see is Jesus promises the Holy Spirit while eating. At the last time, at the Last Supper, Jesus, that when he promised the Holy Spirit. The second part we see is Jesus, the Eucharist and the revelations of the risen Lord happens just after, and we know the story of Clopas and his friend. When they were moving, and Clopas persuaded this unknown figure, let's go, and then it's too dark, and immediately he broke bread with them. This is again that we see in Luke. And again we see in Luke and Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, the Jews and the Gentiles reflect the nature of the church through table fellowship. So tables or dining, eating, they are very critical in Luke's gospel, as we see both Luke and Acts. So the table is taken seriously that Jesus gets into trouble because of his eating buddies. Who is he eating with? And this is the issue that is controversial in this text today. Who is he eating? Whose buddies are they? He was known as a friend of tax collectors. Tax collectors, their other name is publicans, or not Republicans. No, publicans. Okay? Publicans or sinners. Because he ate with them. So inviting others to a table could be a sign of affluence or status, but could also be a sign of service and a sign of acceptance as equals or as friends, and then creating an equal egalitarian fellowship through the breaking of bread. So table fellowship meant full acceptance of one another. In other words, you can only come to the table because we are one of us. This is what we see. We are one of us, and therefore we are including you in our circle to come at the table. So in this context we see today is if you are not one of us, you are not part of the table. If you don't belong to this group, to this clique, you don't fit in this table. And therefore, Jesus is now a suspect. Whose kind of a Jew is he who goes and eats with the publicans and sinners? What kind of a guy is this? And again, we know in Acts again, Simon Peter got into trouble again. You remember Simon Peter, when he was with Cornelius. And Peter went and ate with uncircumcised people. And the Jews were saying, like, what kind of a guy are you? You are eating with sinners, and let alone the uncircumcised. And he went into trouble because of that. So why do you go to these people? So there could be trouble due to the table, because one's table fellowship does not lie. In other words, what I'm saying here is going to the other house was bad enough. Now we can imagine eating with them was even the worst. When you remember again the prodigal son issue. He went and feed the pigs, which was one of the worst things. But eating with them, he becomes a pig as well. So this is what we see. So you see, Luke has got the way of crafting his message for us to understand the degree in which Jesus now is having this kind of a controversy in this text. So the table says something, who is in and who is out. That's what we see. So who is at the table is the question that we have this morning. But of course in this text it's pretty obvious. Jesus begins by teaching the guests and about the table manners. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. But when you are invited, go and sit down. Place. Social status was obvious based on the seating of the dinner guests. And Jesus tells the guests to seek the lower place so that the host may tell them to move higher. So this was the hierarchy in which things are done in this context. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. So this story is about hospitality. But however, the hospitality involves humility. And this humility is the humility of the guests. But however, Jesus does not only say the guests should humble themselves, but also the host should look low as well. So this is a double-edged sword that we see Jesus is giving to us. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return. Let me pause here. Let's think about our weddings. Let's think about our children's weddings, our own weddings. Who was part of this wedding? Who was there? And typically, this is what happens. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something. Our wedding, we had more than 2,000 people. I think I once told about this story before. I think so. 2,000 people. And we don't even invite people from church. Because my church, I had a very big church of more than 1,000 by that time. My church, everybody was already a guest. It's an open invitation. So my wife's church was again open invitation. My mother's church was an open invitation. My wife's mother, it was an open. So you can imagine already, we're already 2,000. Only people would just come. No invitation card will go to church. They just walk and they all say, gracious is our son. Just by being part of the church, we are already invited. So, which is, of course, I know I'm talking in a different context here. So please forgive me. I'm only saying this is what we see. Who is, are you inviting at this wedding? So what we see is something different here. There is an invasion in this text, what Jesus is doing. So let's again ask the question that I started at the beginning. Who is coming to dinner? And in this text, is not your relatives and is not your friends, is not all that. Not your friends, not your brothers, not your relatives. And who is now coming is the crippled, the poor, the lame, the blind, those from that cannot give anything in return, who cannot even give a dime, those who just come to eat at the table, those who have no social or economic status are the people who are invited. And Jesus is, this is what he's telling us this morning. Those who can't help us get connected to the influential. Those who are not the usual suspects around the table of welcome. In other words, Jesus is talking, this is a parable of the kingdom. In other words, Jesus saying, in the kingdom, we see the invasion of his hospitality, in which those on the margins are placed at the front, at the center of the table, to remind us that community is not only about the strong, but also the weakest as the member of the community. Again, in our African philosophy that I once talked about, the Ubuntu philosophy, umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu in Zulu. A person, you are who you are because of other people. So you're not who you are because of your mother, your mom. No. You are who you are because of us. Because of we, you. I am who I am today because of you, Erin, David, and oh, I am who I am. It's not because of the commodes or the gas and all the life. I am who I am because of you. Umuntu, ngumuntu, ngabantu. I am who I am because of other people. That's what makes us. So a community is not only of the strong, but also of the weakest. What kind of a community is that always the hulkies, the macho men and all that? No, you need the weak and also to be part of that. So that's what caused the community in what Jesus is saying this morning. Those on the fringes become friends through the fellowship. And this ought to be surprising because the kingdom of God is always surprising. Surprising for me to say this. And again, as I said at the beginning, young people, young women, young men who are here now begin to look, if my friend, look at your wedding guest and say, is gracious in? Am I part of it? I want to be there as well. Rewrite your guest list. I want to be there. I want to dance on your wedding, my friend, okay? I want to dance there, right there. Change your guest list. Who is in? Please, may you allow me to remove this? Thank you. It's messing up with me here. I've got something to share this morning, you see. So, in the kingdom, hospitality is free and there is no expectation of reciprocity. It is unconditional service at the table. No strings attached, no stipulations placed on the other. And I, one of my favorite, I wrote a paper critiquing his book, Embrace, the Yale theologian. I think my good friend might know, the Yale theologian, Miroslav Volf, would say the drama of embrace. The drama of embrace, this embrace will give ourselves to the other and welcome them to readjust our identities to make space for them. But he's not asking us to change who we are, but to create the space so that they also become part of them prior to any judgment about others. So in other words, we are accepting people who are not like us, who are not common to this group. And he goes on to say, hospitality is creating space. That's what hospitality is, creating space. But it isn't what hospitality is, my dear friends. Hospitality is about welcoming the stranger, welcoming the difference, the other on the table. Those we call the other are welcomed on this table. Having the other on the table is not just a nice thing to do. It is the right thing to do. It's not that we have to choose to do. We have to do it. We have to do that. I'm not saying we have to do it. If we are a church, this is what we need to do. We have to do it. A Christian community should be always seen to do the things that other people say, wow. And they'll become part of that community where people they see that this church, and this is the uni law, it's very good about this. This is why I am part of this community, because you are accepted by the way who you are, not by anything. And I feel so good to be part of this community because of that. It is the right thing to do. In fact, it makes for a better table. That a better table, just like a cake that is decorated with different colors and all that. So when we have these different people around the table, it makes it better. So having people around the table who don't look like us, act like us, talk like us with this kind of an accent, who doesn't talk like us, think like us, sing like us, or dance like us, who are not like us, help us understand the beauty of God better. That's why I already registered myself at Kiefer's wedding, so that I'll be dancing there. Sorry, my friend. Sorry, I'm just using your name today. So I'm already in your guest list, okay? So what I'm saying, my dear friends, is that difference and diversity undergirds an excellent and even a beautiful church community in which distinct perspectives inform or illuminate one another. Sameness is not a sign of the kingdom, not at all. And this is what Jesus is trying to remove from this. Sameness is not a good sign. Nowhere does Jesus say the goal is of sameness, a monolithic kind of a group. No, Jesus doesn't even guilt us into meeting the needs of the poor, the crippled, or the lame. But he does say, invite them to the table and have them as part of your community or friends, and you'll be blessed because they do not repay you in return. And here is something. You are missing your blessings by failing to invite other people who are not your circle. Because the Bible is clear. You are blessed by their presence at the wedding. Oh, by the way, Matthew chapter 25. You remember the famous story that you saw me when I was hungry and you did not give me the... I was hungry and you did not visit me. And they asked, when did we see you hungry? When did you see... When you do to one of these, you did it to me. So when you did it, you did it to me. That's what it is. So this is by doing to those others, the othering these others, it's a blessing. You will be blessed just because they are around the table, and the fear of the other will cease. This is what is important. Even though it happens, it appears that there might be what is called the preferential of the option of the poor. Jesus is an equal opportunity God, because he does not exclude the religious in order to eat with sinners. Oh, by the way, we are told that this story when he was eating in the Pharisee's house. So in other words, Jesus was saying, I am both. I like those of the top, and I'm also saying those who on the low side should be included at the table. He is not saying others are better and these are better, but he is saying all are welcome at this table. So Jesus speaks to everyone, guests and hosts, the privileged and the underprivileged, about the table, about hospitality. And because hospitality is the practice by which the church stands or fails. My dear friends, here I want to say this one simple thing. It is how we receive the people as a church that may make people part of this community or not. People would say, I went to Yinolo and this is how I was welcomed. And that's why I became part of this community. So in other words, if we fail to welcome in the right way, they will never come back. So this is what we just, I said this one time, my first time in Minnesota, I went to a church with a good friend of mine from Namibia, Brian. So went to a church, we were looking, these poor new Africans, we were looking for a Lutheran church. So we saw a Lutheran church close by, we said, oh, there's a church, so let's go there. We went there as people were hunting for a church. We went to the church. The church was nice, music was wonderful, the acoustics and all that. And after church, oh, nobody, we were just like somewhere in an island of our own. But the pastor was good enough and came to us very nicely. Hey, how are you? Where did you come from? And all that. It was good. But later on, this is where he missed it. He said, oh, there is an Ethiopian Lutheran church down the street along. Oh, Jesus. We did not take an offense. But we then later, when we went to our apartment, we started to interrogate that statement. What did he mean by that? Does it mean that we don't belong here? Does it mean, honestly, that maybe we may feel better to the Ethiopian church because we are black? We are not even Ethiopians, by the way. So why would you, so all these questions were coming to us and said, what really does this mean? But we said, oh, no, I mean, he meant well, but Brian was not saying, no, he's a racist. I'm always gracious, you see. I was saying, he did not. But Brian said, no, this guy is not right. You see, how do we welcome? So hospitality is at the center of who we are as a church. We can either accommodate the people or make the people part of us or not by the way we do. Do we take them for the break after fast, or what do we do after that? All these kind of things are very critical. My dear friends, the kingdom is where they will welcome anyone, east and west, north and south, to sit at the welcome table. You don't have to worry about not being invited, because God invites everyone to this wedding banquet. You are all invited. We, you, me, all of us, we are invited in God's banquet. And that says something about God's indiscriminate hospitality. God is a host who hosts us all in this world. For our first breath and to our last, he welcomes us. This is love. Not because we loved God, but he first loved us. Always self-giving, other-receiving. A hospitality sine qua non, a hospitality that is risky, so risky that the images on the Last Supper that we see in many images that we have seen, we see Jesus sitting with even Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him. That's the kind of hospitality that we see, sitting with the guy that you know that he is going to betray him not long ago, but very soon. What am I saying, my dear friends, this morning? What we are not asked to repay God for God's hospitality, nor could we ever repay him for the gift of life and love he has given us. But his hospitality comes with no strings attached. His banquet is free. The only issue here is there is no mention of food at this banquet. This is one of the things that I say. He is talking of everything. So what about the food? It doesn't mean that the food is not important at this banquet. But Jesus had a message about welcoming as people, and obviously it's a wedding. So the assumption is the wedding, there is a lot of food. And by sometimes we might say, Jesus is our bread and the food at the welcome table. That's our needs. will be met because of him. Because the food menu is not mentioned doesn't mean it's not significant. But let me finish by asking these few questions. What do we serve when we sit together at the table? What will you put on the table this year or this fall or this Thanksgiving or this Christmas? What will you put? Who are part of this table? Who are part of your family dinner? And as we see, Luke in this text is helping us to understand or to help us host others to participate and extend God's hospitality throughout the world and this community by being God's co-laborers. Now, my friends, as we go out today, maybe you will take the risk. Maybe you will begin to share yourself to welcome someone in order to give them a sense of belonging or to affirm the value or to assure them that they are loved. Maybe, just maybe, you will share more than food at the welcome table, and through your hospitality, you will be blessed. The menu is clearly not mentioned, but the Holy Spirit has invited all of us to sit at the welcome table, not just for these days, but today, right here at the Lord's table. You may be surprised who is on the guest list. You are part of the guest list. I am the part of the guest list. All of us, we are part of the guest list, but Jesus is our host. We are all invited. Amen. Amen. Amen.